Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Greenpanel Industries Limited Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishab Barar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Greenpanel Industries Limited Q3 and 9 months FY24 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shobhan Mittal, the Managing Director, Mr. V. Venkatramani, the CFO. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the results presentation that was sent to you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Shobhan Mittal to begin proceedings of the call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishab. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss Greenpanel's operating and financial performance for Q3 FY24. MDF domestic sales volumes grew by 4%, while export volumes fell by 15%. Overall, MDF volumes were flat at 11,8301 cubic meters compared to 11,82,18 in the corresponding quarter. MDF domestic realizations were lower by 6.7% at 31,593 rupees per cubic meter, while realizations in export were higher by 2.2% at 19,053 rupees per cubic meter. The fall in MDF domestic realizations was due to the introduction of new products for the OEM segment. This contributed 28,025 cubic meters in volume terms and rupees 62.65 crores in value terms at an average realization of rupees 22,355 per cubic meter. MDF EBITDA margins at 19.6% were impacted by an increase in brand spend at 2.2% of sales compared to 1% in the year-on-year quarter, higher wood prices, and increased domestic competition. Plywood volumes were lower by 22.6%, and operating margins at -4.1% were impacted by lower volumes and an increase in raw material costs. Plywood realizations at rupees 249 per square meter were lower by 13.8% year-on-year. This was due to lower volumes in the decorative veneers business. We have restructured our plywood sales team to recover market share and to reach optimum capacity, which we foresee in the next few quarters. Post-tax profits for the quarter were lower 7.8% at 34.6 crores as compared to 37.5 crores in Q3 FY23 for reasons mentioned earlier and currency losses of rupees 8.44 crores. Net working capital at 25 days has shown an increase of 2 days year-on-year. We have chosen to be disciplined with our credit terms, which obviously has some impact on our sales since competition is offering attractive credit terms. Net debt stands at -176 crores rupees as of 31st December 2023. We have prepaid borrowings of €3.59 million, which equates to ₹32.7 crores during the quarter. We paid ₹24 crores from internal accruals towards MDF expansion project during Q3, aggregating to ₹115 crores till date. Apart from this, the spends from borrowings aggregate to ₹146 crores till date. Work is progressing on the expansion project, and we estimate commercial production in Q3 FY25. Mr. Venkatramani will run you through the financials in greater detail, post which we will have the Q&A session. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss the Q3 FY24 financial performance of Greenpanel Industries. Net sales during the quarter were ₹384.99 crores compared to ₹419.09 crores during the year-on-year period. MDF sales fell by 4.1% at ₹346.62 crores and contributed 90% of the top line. MDF domestic volumes grew by 4%, while export volumes fell by 15%. Overall volumes were 118,301 cubic meters compared to 118,218 cubic meters in the year-on-year quarter. MDF domestic revenues were rupees 305.41 crores, while exports contributed rupees 41.21 crores. Domestic realizations were lower by 6.7% year-on-year at rupees 31,593 per cubic meter, while export realizations are higher by 2.2% at rupees 19,053 per cubic meter. Blended MDF realizations were lower by 4.2% at rupees 29,300 per cubic meter. Uttarakhand MDF operated at 82% and AP plant operated at 70% with blended capacity utilization at 74%. Plywood sales saw degrowth of 33.3% at rupees 38.37 crores. Plywood sales volumes were lower by 22.6% at 1.54 million square meters and the unit operated at 58% during the quarter. Plywood sales realizations were lower by 13.8% at rupees 249 per square meter due to mix change as mentioned earlier by Mr. Mittal. Plywood sales realizations excluding decorative veneers were up by 0.7% year-on-year at rupees 248 per square meter. In Q3, gross margin fell by 212 basis points year-on-year at 56.1%. EBITDA margins were lower by 577 basis points at 17.3%. EBITDA in value terms stood at rupees 66.42 crores and PAT at rupees 34.6 crores due to reasons mentioned earlier. I'll now update you on the performance details for 9 months FY24. Net sales degrew by 12.7% at rupees 1167.84 crores. MDF sales were low by 9.3% at rupees 1041.30 crores, while plywood sales were lower by 33.2% at rupees 126.54 crores. Gross margins were down by 295 basis points at 56.6%. Gross margin in value terms was down by 17% at rupees 660.51 crores. EBITDA margin was lower by 817 basis points at 18.1%. EBITDA in value terms fell by 39.9% at rupees 211.35 crores. Post-tax profits were lower by 39.8% at rupees 112.88 crores. Overall MDF sales volumes were down by 3% at 357,714 cubic meters with blended capacity utilization of the two plants at 75% compared to 77% in the year-on-year period. Dispatches for plywood were lower by 27% at 4.76 million square meter with capacity utilization at 57% compared to 75% in the corresponding period. Gross debt, including borrowings of rupees 146 for expansion projects to equity, now stands at 0.18 as at 31st December compared to 0.17 as on 31st December 2022. Net debt as on 31st December stood at negative rupees 176 crores compared to negative rupees 145 crores as on 31st December 2022. That concludes my presentation. Please start the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, you want to understand, last time in call you have highlighted October domestic volume growth was 9% year-on-year, but as a quarter the growth is 4%. So it means that sales have been slightly on lower side on November and December. And lastly, how are the trend now, like Jan is also over?
Yes, so number was possibly impacted by the festival season, although it was similar to last year. And as far as the future is concerned, I think we will see volumes improving from this quarter onwards, quarter by quarter. And we expect to finish flat as far as domestic volumes are concerned on a yearly basis, and possibly some degrowth on the export side. We have reduced exports to large buyers primarily because you know, of the increase in costs on the raw material side. But we are continuing shipments to the smaller buyers where we are getting higher realizations and some positive contribution to the fixed cost.
Earlier, once we are anticipating, you know, 10 to 12% growth on export NSR. So, have that played out or yet to play out? How should we see that?
I didn't get your question.
So, I remember maybe a quarter or two back, you said that export NSR will improve by 10 to 12% because whatever the shipment you have bought, but hardly we have seen that getting played out in number. So, should we expect a better NSR for exporting Q4?
Yeah, probably we could see a marginal increase in export realizations. I don't think there's any possibility of reduction there. But yes, like I mentioned, you know, we have stopped exports to the large format buyers, primarily because of a significant increase in raw material costs. So while realizations might improve a bit, I think, you know, volumes will be constrained.
Okay, got it. I just want to understand one thing. Now BIS is getting implemented, and secondly, due to Red Sea issue, the ocean freight rates have also increased. So what sort of impact you are seeing in MDF import?
We have seen a minor reduction in import volumes. There could be two reasons for that. One, you know, the volumes were very high in quarter two, where we saw a total of around 1,44,000 cubic meters being imported. Compared to that, you know, Q3 was around 93,000 cubic meters. So there's definitely be a significant fall. But, you know, that could possibly have happened because, you know, people wanted to store up inventories before the BIS came into implementation. So that could also explain the lower imports which happened in quarter three. But yeah, we are hopeful that once BIS implemented, we'll see a significant reduction in imports during the current quarter and the next financial year.
One last question from my side. How has been the timber prices sequentially and year on year for North and South?
Okay. So we have seen an increase of 2% for the North plant and 4% for the South plant sequentially. And as far as year on year is concerned, just give me a minute.
And if you have the per kg number, please do share that also.
Yeah, I'll do that. So year on year, the increase has been 6% for the northern plant and 40% for the south plant. And as far as the numbers are concerned, in Q3 last year, it was 5.38 rupees per kg for the north plant, 3.15 for the south plant. And in the current quarter, it has been 5.71 for the north plant and 4.44 for the south plant.
Okay. That is quite helpful. Thank you. I'll come back in soon.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please limit your questions to two questions per participant. We have the next question from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand the domestic demand scenario. We understand you have purposely, you know, reduced the share of exports, but how is the domestic demand scenario? Because we have not seen a great momentum in volumes either in domestic.
The domestic market has been growing during the current year, and we are quite satisfied as far as the demand conditions are satisfied. But the fact is that imports took away a large share of the growth from domestic producers. So we are hopeful that, you know, once BIS implemented, we'll see a reduction every month happening on the import side, and the benefits getting passed on to the domestic manufacturers.
Understood. Secondly, the margin stance that you had revised your guidance last quarter downward to about 22 to 23 odd percent. This quarter margins have come slightly below that number. Is there any one-off, or do you still expect margins to go over around 19% levels?
As far as the margins are concerned, so there were a couple of factors attributable to that. One was the higher brand spend in the quarter. Second was the increase in wood prices. And the third was a significant increase in, you know, the volumes for the new product which we had introduced for the OEM segment. So that's at a significantly lower margin as compared to our regular product. So that had an impact on the margins. But going forward, I think once we see the volumes moving towards the optimum level, we'll also see a corresponding improvement in the margins.
Has the timber prices already started declining, sir?
No, I don't think we are expecting any, you know, significant reduction in wood prices during quarter four or even the next financial year. I think they would possibly start reducing from FY26 only.
Understood. And last one, if I may, is related to BIS norms. So how confident are we in terms of implementation happening from SEF? Do you expect any delays around? And can import come back to the COVID levels, I would say, after implementation? What's your assessment on that?
Shobhanji, can you take that?
Yeah. So, so implementation is for certain to happen because it's already been passed. So, but what I would say is that, you know, there would be two elements of benefit for the domestic producer with the BIS implementation. There would be, I would say, a short-term relief in terms of import volumes being reduced. And then, of course, on account of compliance with BIS, it's a fairly tedious process for the foreign producers to, you know, get the registrations done and to comply. And then also going forward to continue producing material which comply with the BIS norms, which would result in, you know, certain additional costs on account of their manufacturing, even after they have gotten the registrations and compliances done with the BIS norms. So it would, I won't say that it would come to, you know, pre-COVID levels where, it was to that low levels, but it would definitely help us in curtailing the imports coming into the country.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Rupani from BOB Caps. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. So my first question is that given that we have a pretty strong balance sheet, are we planning to enter into any new product category, say, over the next 1 year period?
No, at the moment we are not planning entry into any other product.
Okay. And sir, my second question is that like if you can give us some sense that post Red Sea conflict, whether there has been any increase in the ocean freight rate from Southeast Asian market to India.
Yeah, there has been a marginal increase in ocean freight rates. I think, you know, that's more due to, you know, reduction in availability of containers rather than directly related to the Red Sea conflict. Because that's probably having more impact on, you know, imports coming in from Europe or US, which is not the case as far as MDF is concerned.
Okay. So, I just wanted to understand on this point only. So, whether the landed cost of imported MDF remains the same or it has gone up post, let's say, conflict?
It remains the same. There has been no increase.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Santhalia from Buoyant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, like, our realizations in import is way too lesser than domestic. So what is the different product we are selling? How we are able to make positive EBITDA margins?
Okay. If you take imports, you know, more than 90% of the imports would be of the plain MDF category, primarily the what we call the industrial or the interior category, and possibly about 5 to 10% would be pre-laminated MDF. Whereas if we look at our mix, you know, so there are four categories. So plain MDF contributes about 82%, our pre-laminated MDF contributes about 17%, and the balance 1% comes from flooring. Now, plain MDF is again broken up into four parts: industrial, commercial, exterior, and club. Here again, the mix is about 30% for industrial, about 32% for commercial, 17% for exterior and 21% for club. So if we, you know, compare, take the plain industrial MDF and what we call the value-added products, which are basically pre-laminated, flooring, exterior and club. The realizations of these value-added products are approximately 50% higher as compared to the plain MDF. But the costs are also higher for the value-added products. But even then, you know, their margins are significantly higher as compared to the industrial or the commercial category. And since imports are majorly of the industrial or the commercial category, so their value add and margins are significantly lower.
Understood. And sir, a follow-up on this, like, the products which we are exporting to other countries, are we able to make positive EBITDA on those products?
Okay. So no, at the moment, we are not making a positive EBITDA. So as long as our realizations are higher than the variable expenses, we are doing those exports because they are making a positive contribution, you know, to the fixed cost.
But sir, where I am confused is on the domestic side, we are making around 7,000-8,000 EBITDA per ton, EBITDA per the CBM, and we are exporting the products at 20,000 realization. So how it is making sense for us? And
okay, I'll explain. See, if you could sell the entire capacity in the domestic market, we wouldn't be doing any exports at all. Exports would be zero. But today, you know, even after including exports, we are operating at around 75% capacity utilization. No? So when you are not at optimum capacity utilization, it makes sense, you know, to do exports also. And today the export markets are also disturbed, you know, because countries which are exporting to India, like Vietnam and Thailand, are also doing large-scale exports to the Middle East, which is our major export market. And so realizations and margins are depressed currently. But you know, as soon as imports start reducing, you know, we will be able to improve our realization. So it makes sense to continue in those markets for the time being. Although we have, you know, reduced sales to larger buyers where, you know, the realizations are not making a positive contribution to the fixed cost. But we are still continuing with the smaller buyers.
Understood. And sir, last follow-up, like if we are exporting to the countries where other players are also exporting, then why aren't we able to compete with them? Are the different what they export in India and in UAE?
Okay. The simple reason is, you know, that we are able to compete because we are matching prices there. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So our export realizations are similar to, you know, what the imported products cost in India. So, but if we would try to, you know, compete with imports on similar pricing in India, then our existing margins would also fall significantly.
Understood. Understood. And one last question, like there are too many plants and capacity coming up in South specifically. So any assumptions or any goals like what we are assuming our utilization of South plants going forward?
Yeah, so our target is, you know, to achieve optimum capacity utilization in the next financial year for the South plant. And if you look at it, you know, if we look at the expansions which have happened over the last 12 to 18 months, most of the expansions have happened in northern India. And apart from you know, Century's plant, which is coming up in South India, no major expansions are happening in southern India.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you. That's all from my side. Best of luck for this quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. We have the next question from the line of Kushagra from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just 2 questions. One, if I look at your production numbers and sales numbers, your production numbers are higher for 2nd consecutive year, and that sort of implies that there is some inventory build-up. So, wanted your thoughts on, you know, how are you thinking about inventory build-up for you, for other players, and in the distribution channel in a declining price environment?
See, there's not been any significant inventory build-up. So, if you look at the first 9 months of the current year, our production has been 362,000 cubic meter. And our sales have been 3,57,000 cubic meters. So there's hardly been an increase of 5,000 cubic meters during the 9 month period.
All right. So the broad math which I saw was on a 13% decline on revenue, your inventory levels have actually, you know,
okay,
from 150 crores and at the end of FY23, it has gone up to almost 200 odd crores.
So you cannot really, you know, compare value with volumes, you know, because on the value side, you know, there has been a drop in realizations because we have introduced a new product for the OEM segment. So that has led to lower realizations. But on a volume basis, like I mentioned, we have had just a 5,000 cubic meter increase in, you know, MDF volume.
So in short, basically, there is not much inventory buildup for you as well as in the system, is what you're trying
to say.
That's right. All right. The second question is, you know, more related to the way you look at utilizations or the way you plan your utilization level. So given, you know, you have continuous manufacturing plants, just wanted to get a sense on, let's say, apart from some maintenance, is there a question of switching on and switching off of the plant, or, you know, you just run it for all 365 days except for those maintenance days? And in that sort of, if that's the case, how do you sort of manage the fluctuations in the utilization levels is what I'm trying to understand. And A follow-up to this is what utilization levels you are planning in FY25 in this environment when a lot of capacity ramp-ups are also happening?
Okay. So as far as, planning the capacity utilizations is concerned, so our efforts are to have the plant running continuously except for the maintenance days. But yes, sometimes inventory buildup does happen, so what we do is we prepone the maintenance or, we take shorter runs or, possibly some of the components of the machinery are shut down. So those are the, things we normally do to ensure that's not any significant buildup of inventory. And during the current year, capacity utilization has been 73% for the first 9 months. So I think we would be targeting somewhere between 85 to 90% for the next financial year.
All right. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Couple of questions. First was on the Red Sea thing. You did indicate the container freight probably from Southeast Asia to India hasn't changed. But if we had to look at if there was cargo from Vietnam which used to chase, say, the European and U.S. markets, I think it will become economically unviable for them till the Red Sea issue continues. Is it a threat that that material could be dumped into India over till the situation stabilizes?
It's a difficult question to answer, because we have to look at what impact BIS implementation has. So it's expected to be implemented after another 10 days. So we'll have to see, what impact BIS implementation has on imports. But I think, yes, it would be extraordinarily difficult for them to divert shipments from, which are planned for Europe to India at this point of time.
Okay.
Also,
what I'm saying is that domestic consumers would also be, wary of placing order for imports at this point of time, because they don't know whether those shipments could get stuck up because they are not complying with BIS norms.
Okay. And sir, Shoman sir, you did indicate about the tedious process to get the registration done. Are these renewals or licenses, do they need to be reviewed or renewed every year, basically when it comes to imports? Or is it a one-time affair which gives them a...
No, it needs to be renewed on a annual basis. However, the first time the process is a lot more cumbersome as opposed to the renewal process. Also, keep in mind, when it comes to BIS, every product, every sheet needs to be stamped with the BIS compliance, code and the BIS stamp. A lot of these companies do not even have the facilities to do individual board printing like we do in India. So even on that aspect, they will have to do the compliance, install new printers and machinery, infrastructure needs to be created for that. And at the same time, the current quality parameters, that they follow are at this point of time not BIS compliant. So, of course, as a domestic producer, we will, push for, the BIS to make sure that the products coming into the country now are BIS compliant, which will then have an adverse effect on their costs as well.
This is useful. And sir, how much is the cost for the renewal for the license. Just I'm trying to understand. So if the renewal is required every year, it becomes a bit cumbersome.
In the scheme of things, that's I don't think the cost of BIS renewal. I'm not aware how it works. As a foreign producer to get BIS compliance in the renewals. But in the scheme of things, I don't think that is prohibitive.
Okay. Perfect. And so just last question on manpower. I think in the initial remarks, you did indicate that we will restructure teams in the ply division. If you could elaborate on that. And secondly, we have seen a bit of attrition when it comes to the sales force, even at the senior level over the last 12-18 months. How are we ensuring that we retain our top employees and people living at the top? Has it had any impact over the last 2-3 quarters? How are we trying to recoup that? Thanks.
It's fair to say that there, what you see as attrition is actually part of the restructuring process. I would say that at the top level, whatever attrition has happened is a planned, restructuring and a planned attrition, to be honest with you, where the company has chosen to replace or, reassign people at that level. And on the ply division, yes, the process is still ongoing. You know, barring the manpower itself, there is also a lot of restructuring happening within the distribution network as well. At the earlier, what we noticed was that there was a wide network of dealers and distributors, but the business coming from them was not consistent and regular. So now we are in the process of weeding out people who are only dealing with us, once every 4 months or once every 5 months, and focusing on more concentrated distribution model where, people are holding stocks and on a monthly basis doing business with us and then in turn distributing it to the retail network. So, both on account of the manpower as well as on account of the distribution network for the ply business, that is an ongoing process for the time being. But we will definitely see the benefit of that in the next couple of quarters coming in. However, because of this major change that is undergoing, it is reflecting on the reduction of volumes because it's a big disturbance in the ongoing business model. But it's for the long-term benefit of the business.
This is very helpful. And so this last question, you indicated that we expect timber prices to reduce from FY26 only. Any specific reason for the timelines and the underlying variables over here, please? Thank you so much.
Yeah, so maybe plantations started.
No, go ahead, please go ahead.
Yeah, the major plantation started in FY22 and it's a 3-year cycle. So I think, yield from those plantations will happen, towards the beginning of FY26 or could be, say, a couple of months earlier.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahay from PL India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my questions. So the first one, can you repeat the OEM volume numbers?
So it's 28025 cubic meters.
Okay, so related to that, sir, how much of the, because if I look at this and look at the contribution, it's nearly around 29% of your domestic volume. So where this number to go here, from here, as a contribution of the domestic, will it be at 30% or it will be going around that?
So it will only go down from here. It won't increase from here.
So any the contribution you are aiming for, the domestic volume to be directly to the OEMs?
It's a difficult question to answer, because at different levels of capacity utilization, different levels of volume sold, the mix will be different. But yes, to repeat my answer to your question, I think we are at peak as far as you know the percentage of sales to OEM is concerned. So I don't think we'll see any significant increase from here on, or rather we could see a reduction in this.
And also in the realization of the domestic, we have seen that's a 3.5% reduction sequentially, and I can understand it's because of OEM contribution has increased, as well as you had mentioned the increase in the domestic competition. So can you quantify how much is the sequential reduction in the realization is because of two things?
There's no reduction as such because of competition, because our prices have remained at the same level. So the reduction in domestic realizations is entirely due to the change in product mix.
Oh, okay. And on the export numbers, sir, your export contribution has reduced to an 18% of overall volume, and earlier definitely you had went ahead to 27%. Where also in the export you want to be, like at what percentage of a contribution of your volume?
See, our preference would be to have a 90-10 mix of domestic and exports. You know, but depending upon demand conditions and prices in India and exports, so there could be change in that mix, but our preferred mix would be 90-10.
Okay. And last question on the domestic volume side. Because in the domestic volume, your growth is, some single digit versus your peers also reported your number in the domestic, they had given double digit of a growth. And we can understand that there is another peer coming in the south with their plant. So where you will see this domestic volume growth to way forward? And also if you can give some color, like why you are a single digit versus peers growing at a double digit?
One could be, because our capacities and volumes are much higher as compared to competition. So, you'll also understand that growing 10% on 100 rupees, is far easier than growing 10% on 2000 rupees. So, since we are already at very large volumes as compared to competition, possibly our growth rate is lower. But I think starting from the current quarter, we'll see start seeing a significant improvement in domestic volumes.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please restrict your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue if you have follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So the question is, you explained about BIS impact on MDF. How do you see it play out in plywood? I know probably imports are fairly small, but say for smaller domestic companies, I think compliance is fairly understood part, but say on production or raw material sourcing for smaller companies, how will that play out?
See,
please
go ahead. No, there is no change on the BIS compliance aspect on plywood. This is very specific to MDF only.
No, there's BIS on plywood also. But I think that implementation will possibly happen with a time lag. I think...
I'm okay with probably it could happen with a time lag. I just want to understand, say in terms of improving the product quality or to meet the norms, what kind of changes probably smaller companies or probably unbranded companies would have to undergo?
I think, BIS will be very positive for MDF, not only in terms of, reducing import volumes. But over a period of time, a large part of the unorganized plywood segment will also be subsumed by MDF, primarily due to compliance issues.
Okay. So, sorry, sir. I'm probably, I got this market share shift. My question is more from the manufacturing angle. Say today, if anyone is not conforming to BIS norms on plywood side, how will that change on the plywood, on the domestic side? Is there?
See, any domestic manufacturer has to comply with BIS norms. It's a mandatory requirement.
Okay. Okay, so there won't be any material change in cost or anything for the smaller companies.
There will be. And let me give you an example. You know, when we talk about BIS norms, every aspect of the quality is, for example, specified, right? Whether it is the screw holding, whether it is the tensile strength, whether it is the polymer structure. Now, if certain, let's say, parameter is not being achieved, that would might mean, let's say in the case of plywood, that a higher percentage of glue has to be used in order to achieve that strength level, which BIS specifies. So, which in turn would mean that, okay, that they will have to start using that higher quantity of glue to produce the plywood, which would result in a cost increase. At the same time, let's say, you know, there is also a parameter of waterproofness of the product, right? Now, a lot of people produce plywood, let's say, using only urea or melamine formulation. Whereas, in order to get the waterproofing, you may need to have a higher quantity of melamine or a higher quantity of phenol in the resin, which would again result in a higher cost of production. Same thing would apply even to the imports of, MDF as well. You know, where I said, whether it is the density or whether it is these quality parameters which may result in additional manufacturing cost to comply with the quality norms. And that has applied to us as well. Fortunately, we as a company, as a domestic producer from the beginning, have already been compliant in terms of. So there is not much material change in terms of cost of our production.
Okay. And any change on the timber side for the unorganized or smaller companies because of these BIS norms, at least on the plywood side, more on the plywood side?
When you say timber side, are we you mean to say the cost of timber or in the manufacturing process?
Quality of timber. Say, do you feel that probably that could also change for smaller companies in terms of, or do you think there they are probably in line with what branded or larger companies like you or other peers procure on the timber quality?
No, I think where it might change is the quantity of timber consumed to produce the same unit, you know. Like I said, if the density has to be increased, then they'll have to start using higher quantity of timber.
Okay. Okay.
But with the quality of timber change, unfortunately, in India, the quality of timber is constant in the sense, you know, or always been a sort of a downward trend. So that will not per se change materially for them as opposed to the organized players.
Okay. Okay. More from meeting the density requirement under the norms. Got it. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joindre Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is, why is Green Panel, being a leading domestic brand in MDF business, unable to perform in tune with the buoyancy in the housing market and other industrial growth?
I did you really follow the question? I couldn't hear. It's a lot of echo, I think, that question.
No, I had the same problem, yeah. Could you please repeat it?
Yeah, I just want to know, Green Panel being a domestic leading brand in MDF business, unable to perform in tune with the development and tremendous growth in housing market. What is the reason for that?
We are primarily an MDF producer at this at the moment, and given the market conditions of MDF of the MDF industry, which is at this point of time highly impacted by imports, by increasing raw material costs, so we have to look at our industry independent of the real estate market. I mean, we are connected, but at the same time, market conditions of the MDF industry currently are not as rosy as it may be in the real estate market. So we will have to look at that a little bit independent of that. imports are a big threat. As Mr. Venkat has mentioned, raw material costs have gone up drastically, which are all impacting, and the domestic competition is also, increasing, intensifying quite strongly. So, which is all resulting in us at the moment being the largest player. We are a very clear target for any newcomers in the segment.
Okay, sir, understood. And my second question is, what is the difference between the import price and the domestic price in Q3 FY24? MDF price.
It ranges between 18% to 20%.
Okay. Even last quarter it was 18% discount, right?
Yeah, more or less prices have remained constant.
Okay. And lastly, what is the capex for FY24 and FY25?
For FY24, I think probably 400 crores or close to that range. And the balance of the 600 crore capex will be happening in the next financial year.
Okay. And lastly, in last quarter con call, you said there is some delay in the shipments from Germany. What is the status on that, sir? Hello?
We are expecting, I think at this point of time, barring the delay in the shipment from Germany, what is also uncertain is this Red Sea issue, which is affecting our shipments as well. But we are quite confident that within the upcoming financial year, we will be starting commercial production, maybe towards the later part of quarter three or in quarter four. We will be starting commercial production. It should not go beyond that.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a sense of what is the annual import figure for MDF, in FY24, what is the estimated annual import?
It's a difficult question, but you can give me a call tomorrow. No, I don't have a reply to that immediately.
Oh, year-to-date number, you would not be tracking, sir?
No, because, we used to get data from our CHA agents, but that was banned in the budget of FY22 that they could not share those data. So, now we are dependent on the Commerce Ministry website, which comes with a time lag. So, if you can give me a call tomorrow, I'll be able to provide that data.
Sure.
What information I can share on that is that, in the past 6 months, I think we can confidently say that it's around 30 to 35,000 cubic meters average.
Okay.
So, it would probably be higher because, as far as my knowledge goes, it was approximately 48,000 cubic meter per month in quarter two. And quarter three would probably be an average of around 32,000. Average of 32,000 in quarter three.
Got it. That's helpful. Just wanted to understand, in the domestic market, you reiterated that the competition is intensifying. Are they kind of pricing the product lower and hence your realizations are also under threat? Because you being the leader, you would have better pricing power, or I'm just trying to understand, are they forsaking margins to gain market shares? So just wanted a sense there.
There is definitely pricing pressure. At this point of time, we have certain benefits with regards to being located in two geographies, north and south of India. But at the same time, we have not reduced prices, but we have, let's say, in the last quarter, for the current running quarter, we have launched some end-of-the-year schemes in order to keep or grow our market share. So it's hard to say how this pans out because certain capacities are yet to come online, and how they will price themselves and how the market will react. So at this point of time, it's hard to put a pin to it, but no, there will definitely be certain pricing pressures going forward.
Got it. Just one last one more. You mentioned that the imports are 20% cheaper. I'm just trying to understand what are the benefits that the Vietnamese and these other producers get that they are able to produce and sell at 20% discount, including the shipping costs. What is that reason, and how can we also get competitive to those levels? Is it that the raw materials are cheaper? What is that X factor?
It's a mix of both. It's a mix of both. Firstly, their plants are much older than ours, so they're fully depreciated. And I think they also, for India, they follow a very similar model to what we follow for our export business, where capacity utilization, anything above the variable cost is the key sort of objective. So even though they may be making very low margins or even at break-even cost, they're happy to run the plant and basically dump the material. So that is the reason why this export model in India exists. The rest of the international market also plays a pivotal role in this, because if there are more lucrative markets, the demand increases there, then supply towards India reduces at the same time. We've seen that happen almost a year ago. A year ago, export prices were almost 40% higher. So it's a function of capacities in those markets, the local demand, how that currency plays out against the dollar, multiple reasons.
Got it. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aasim from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So first question is basically a clarification. So you mentioned that you expect your South India plant to reach optimal utilization the next financial year. So I presume this was for your existing capacity. So just keeping the expanded capacity aside, which I think would be delayed into the latter part of H2, but just North and South put together on existing capacity, would a 15% volume growth in FY25 be a fair goal to target over FY24?
Yeah, I think that's what we were saying earlier. So we would be targeting a 15% domestic volume growth in MDF next year. And possibly also, for the overall MDF business.
So the new capacity would be probably contribute very minimal to the FY25 volume, is it?
Yeah, I think it will be a very small contribution because currently there is some uncertainty on when the Red Sea issue will be resolved and shipments will proceed to India. But like Shobhanji clarified that the plant is expected to begin operation either in Q3 or the beginning of Q4 at the latest. So assuming it happens in Q4, so I think possibly it will contribute somewhere between 20,000 to 30,000 cubic meters this year.
Got it. Okay, and second question is relatively more technical. So just wanted to understand, are these BIS norms, are they more stringent in India versus comparable standards demanded by other countries like the Middle East from these South Asian producers?
Yes, they are definitely more stringent. In fact, certain norms that we were following for MDF, that BIS was following for MDF, were almost a replication of the norms that were there for plywood, and you know, the domestic industry had to approach the Bureau of Indian Standards and get them corrected. But Indian norms generally tend to be more stringent as compared to the EN standards or the you know, the JAS standards. So yes, and that is why you know, we are saying that in order to honestly comply with the norms, there will definitely be cost increases on the part of the foreign producers.
Also, does the fact that their plants are older, so they produce older quality, is that also a factor?
No, I don't think that is a factor. It's the production process that you follow. But I don't think from a mechanical or a production capability aspect, they would have limitations. It's a matter of willing to comply.
Okay.
That they will not be able to comply if they want to. Yes.
Understood. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arul Selvan from Independent Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you are audible now, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just have a couple of larger questions over here. I was looking at the margins on the plywood segment. I was just wondering, do we have any plans of exiting the plywood segment? Does it really contribute to our you know, larger objective, or do you think it helps in some other format in terms of, I don't know, distribution strength or branding, or any other benefits of being present in the plywood segment?
So when you please take the, you know, we are you know, very much optimistic that we should be present in this in this particular business, because plywood in India is here, I mean, you know, is going to remain for the next many years to come. It still is the primary panel of choice. And, you know, as a company, we see that, you know, going forward, you know, as a having a distribution network and leveraging that across the two products, and is going to be beneficial for us. We have already made this investment. Any new investment that we choose to make gives us a very high revenue to investment ratio. So it's a good model of business to be present alongside this MDF business, which is completely different, which is very capital intensive. So we don't have any plans to exit this business. We are very much focused on this business. And, you know, at the cost of poor performance in the current year, which is primarily on account of the complete restructuring and the refurbishment of the business model that we are doing, we see that in the coming financial year, we will look at this in a very positive manner, which would allow us to, you know, reach optimal capacity utilization, and then look at possibility of future expansion in the business as well.
Okay, great. And my final question here is with regard to the OEM segment. Could you just help me out with understanding which kind of products the OEM segment consumers generally have, and a sense of what the margins are in that segment for MDF?
Please take the question.
No, so you know, the OEM segment is primarily focused on the imported products at this point of time, because it is a highly cost conscious product. And at this point of time, you know, there are two grades of products that the OEM segment is consuming. One is your standard imported industrial grade, which is the bread and butter, lowest grade product of the MDF market. But at the same time, you know, there are certain let's say more moisture resistant applications like kitchens, which consume a higher grade of product, which is, you know, with the green pigment, which is what we call the exterior grade or the HDSMR grade. So this is the segment for which we have launched the commercial grade product, which is one quality lower to our industrial grade product, which competes with the imported segment, which allows us to save on certain costs because of the lower density, which is comparable to the import material. And when it comes to, when we're talking about margins, the margins are slightly lower than our industrial grade product. But at the same time, you know, where we see benefit of this particular segment is when we produce a lower density product, our volumes in terms of production increases. So the day we are reaching you know, optimal capacity utilization, that's where we will really start seeing the benefit, because the savings come in the form of fixed overheads, because we produce a much higher amount of cubic meters in the same amount of time as opposed to the higher density and the higher grade products. So we may not see the margin benefit of that as on date because we are still underutilized, but in the long run, we will do so, because, you know, fixed cost gets divided over a much higher quantity of production.
Okay, okay. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So what, just wanted to understand what kind of volume growth are we targeting in the plywood segment in FY25?
I think primarily we would be targeting, you know, to achieve the volumes that we did for the plywood product in FY23, which was about 78 lakh square meters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at you know, the volumes that we did in FY23, it can be broken up into two parts: 78 lakh square meters for plywood and 18 lakh square meters for decorative veneers. We have now exited the decorative veneers product. So, you know, we would want to go back to that 78 lakh square meters volume in FY25.
Okay, got it. And so, like, we saw our quarter-on-quarter margins fell down for both MDF as well as plywood, and even the volumes were down in the case of in both the cases. So, are we expecting the margins and the volumes are bottomed out over here and at these levels?
Yeah, I would pretty much think so, that volumes and margins are bottomed out here.
Okay, great. And so lastly, just wanted to know, like, for the BIS norms, what are the license fees that importers need to pay, the one-time cost and the annual license fees, if there is any?
See, the license fees is not significant, you know. So that would put any pressure on imports or even domestic manufacturers. So it's primarily, you know, if you have to comply with BIS norms, you have to make, you know, your products match to the BIS specifications.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, for imports would mean, you know, greater consumption of raw material to match the BIS specifications. And that will push up their costs and make them less competitive in the domestic markets.
Okay. So is there a chance that since most of these imports are made, the plant that is used is mostly the Chinese plant. So is it possible that or that as a whole is banned or
no,
not allowed?
No, if they are able to, you know, achieve BIS specifications, there's no question of a ban. But if they are not able to match BIS specifications, they will not be able to sell in the country.
All right. Got it. That's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. I wanted a data point. So do we have the number of dealers as on date?
So we normally, you know, compile and release these figures at the end of the year, and I don't have them immediately in hand. But you know, I had some discussions with the sales team in during my last visit to Gurgaon. So they mentioned that I added about 186 new dealers in this quarter, but I don't have the numbers for the first two quarters right now.
Okay, and just one last question. Do we use the same distribution network for both our products?
No, it's almost completely different. I would say only about 15 to 20% would be common, and the balance would be separate.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have no further questions. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this call. We look forward to speaking to you after the next quarter and the closing of the financial year. If anyone has any further questions, please feel free to reach out to us. And we wish everyone a good day. Thank you so much.
Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Green Panel Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.